I am very happy to testify before any Congressional Oversight Committee. I have nothing to hide. I can explain and validate everything that I've done. So, you know, it's going to be inconvenient if they actually are out there essentially threatening to make my life miserable. But I'm going to do what I need to do, and that is cooperate fully, because we have nothing to hide at all.
Despite Joe Biden's last-minute preemptive pardon shielding him from past alleged crimes, Anthony Fauci still faced a high-stakes Senate grilling under subpoena from Rand Paul, where any new falsehood under oath about gain-of-function funding, the Wuhan lab leak, alleged destroyed records, or the contradictions in his own newly released diaries could expose him to fresh perjury charges that the pardon does not cover.
You could not hide that your agency had funded the Wuhan research or your long history of defending gain-of-function research. The only alternative left was to argue that COVID-19 did not originate in the Wuhan lab. You were not a detached observer. You had an institutional interest in the public believing that federally funded research had nothing to do with the pandemic. It was a conflict of interest from the very beginning. The authors of the proximal origin of SARS-CoV-2 privately had serious doubts about a natural origin. Within days, though, they flipped, and they all wrote in proximal origin that the virus was almost certainly not a laboratory construct. That paper was then used by the government and the media and you to discredit Americans who were asking the same questions that you and the authors were asking yourselves privately.
Fauci's preemptive Biden pardon theoretically shields him from past criminal charges tied to his NIH work. He faced no genuine risk of self-incrimination and therefore had no valid Fifth Amendment privilege to refuse answering questions. Answers to questions millions of Americans demand. Any attempt to invoke it at the hearing could allow the committee to compel his testimony and pursue a contempt finding.
What was the Dan David Award? Do you remember, Doc?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
It was a $900,000 cash award. $900,000 cash award. And he got it, because he used federal employees to get it. And this wasn't the only award, was it, Dr. Fauci? In fact, you applied for and received at least 8 other federal cash prizes on federal time using federal employees and federal resources. Here they are over my shoulder.
Under advice of his stable of high-priced attorneys, Fauci pleaded the Fifth 111 times to a variety of simple and inane questions, causing him to look incredibly desperate.
This testimony is from Anthony Fauci. This is not a game with his lawyers. He can advise. His lawyers can give him advice. He's got a half dozen here. They're all allowed to talk to him.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
But the attorneys are not recognized. In fact, the attorney was told not to sit at the table, and he's not obeying that recommendation. There's a row behind you, sir. That's where you were told to sit, and you're not. And now you're disrupting the proceedings. And so, look, this is the way Anthony Fauci wants to be remembered, for a lawyer not listening to the rules. That's the way you want to be remembered, and that's what you're going to do. You are not recognized, sir. Security, please remove him from the room. In the red folder on your table is a copy of Section 192 of Title II of the U.S. Code. Your counsel has been provided a copy as well. That section makes it a crime for a witness appearing under subpoena to refuse to answer any questions pertinent to the question under inquiry. Do you have that in front of you?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Let the record record that the witness has refused to answer whether there's a folder in front of him based on his Fifth Amendment right.
What day of the week is it today?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
What color tie are you wearing?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
We're posting it too. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy.
1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two on this live Friday, July 31st, 2026 transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones, coming to you from on the road. My son, Rex Jones, is riding shotgun. Nate Kornacki is a really smart guy, retired Green Beret out of 1st SFG, 10 years in Army Special Forces and military combat honors, and it goes through all the rest of it. He's at Valhalla VFT, and I wanted to get him on because I watch the show all the time to give his breakdown on Charlie Kirk and the pretrial stuff. And this new video that Candace Owens released, they're not denying is real. The video that they showed in court during the pretrial 3-4 weeks ago that they said showed his face and showed him pull the trigger. I don't see him pulling a gun out of his pants. I don't see him putting it together. I don't see recoil. I know that's a hard line of sight, but he may have been able to make the shot there. But it also kind of discredits the exploding microphone thing. I think this is all fair game. He was a public figure. We've got major questions. Cash Patel killed any investigation into foreign involvement. We broke that news. It's all been confirmed since then. He killed any domestic groups helping when there was a bunch of people saying he'll be dead tomorrow in the town when he comes here. So it's fair game to do all this. I've also dismantled a lot of the conspiracy theories that have clearly not been true out there. And people thought that I was covering up. No, I'm just trying to get at the truth. But I think overall what Candace Owens is doing is her right. And I believe she means well in it and that she's done an incredible job bringing forward this information. Obviously, people are really upset inside the court process, the ongoing cover up that they released this to her. And we're expecting to see more leaks and more information come out. So this is not going the way they wanted it to. Some of the other Green Berets that have been on the other side going with the official story and saying basically don't ask questions. When we pointed out that he was doing different infantry crawl maneuvers and things, he put out videos. This other guy, I'm not putting him down, he's been on the show before, of a baby crawling and making jokes out of this. But I'm not a Green Beret, and I'm not an armorer, and I'm not a gunsmith, but I have shot a lot of guns and done a lot of hunting and put together and reassembled and unassembled a lot of guns. And I've shot a lot of 30-06s and a lot of 300 Win mags and 7 mags and everything else. And I can tell you right now, and Nate Kornacki can disagree with me if I'm wrong. To me, out of all of this, the biggest thing is we're told he's got this gun in his pants, the barrel in his leg. And you see videos that look like him with it looking like he has something there coming up the stairs. And then this person jumps on the roof, runs, gets prone, puts a 30-06 together that even the fastest people I know would take at least a minute or so, then puts a telescopic scope on and screws it on in like 20 seconds and then makes this shot when they're winded. I don't know if some of the best, Delta Force guys in the world could do that. Okay. But I do know this, a red dot scope, you can take off a rifle or a handgun and throw it back on. And most of the time it's going to be pretty much on, but telescopic scopes, when you're in the car and your rifle falls over, somebody go, oh, damn, I bet it's off. Yeah. And you got to get it back on the paper and it's off a few things. But you slap a scope on and don't bore sight it and don't walk it in on the paper, it's going to be off at least 6, 7, 8 inches a foot.
And so I just, and then I had people on, they go, oh, no, no, but he didn't really know what he was doing. No. Doesn't matter how good you are. And I've talked to a lot of other gunsmiths I know, and they go, no, that's absolutely true. Guys that sight guns in all day for people. And they say, no, Alex, it would, you know, you'd have to have, slap it on. And if you're a great shot at 100 yards, walk it in, it would take maybe 3-4 minutes to, you know, get it on bullseye. Maybe it's a lucky shot, but just to unpack this is Nate Kornacki and where he thinks this is going. But even O'Neill, one of the most famous Navy SEALs ever, the guy that reportedly, you know, killed Bin Laden, he's been on the show. And you know, he says he doesn't believe any of it now. None of it makes sense. And so everybody I talk to, Green Berets, Navy SEALs, I mean, none of them believe this, except a few talk show hosts that I know who are Green Berets saying we're all wrong. So I'm not an expert, but I have an expert on. Then I want to spend some of the time with him after this, and I appreciate him coming on of all of EFT, this popular YouTube show and more, to also get his take 150-something days into the Iran war. And where he sees that going, and any off ramps to try to stop this disaster, the accelerating Islamic invasion we see in Morocco, and more. So, Nate, thank you for being here, sir. Please give us your briefing on what you think and what this new video says.
Yeah. So, what I want to do is, if we can just like break down the footage and the really important parts. You hit a lot of them. The scope thing, for one, Alex. A lot of times when we pull our long guns back out of, you know, the cases and stuff like that in military precision rifle training, you slap that scope on, you're not even on paper. You're not even on a 36 inch target. You're so far off, and you actually have to get right up to the target to even find out where that is. So the odds that, like you said, you can just slap a precision rifle scope like that on a telescopic scope and you're just good to go. I mean, you could be 25, 36, 40 inches off the target with that. So the idea that you could do that, yeah, it'd be like the luckiest thing in the world, maybe. But anyway, let's break down the actual footage here. Now,
yeah, take your time because we have HD of all this. I just prefaced it. I want to know if I'm right, and then just walk through each piece.
Yeah. So if we could start really the beginning, right, where we see him run out on the roof. This is important. A, like you mentioned, what we do know is a couple things. One, it is impossible for him to have this 30-06 in his pants at this point, because he is sprinting we see him with sprinting, knees bent, full gait, right? So he either has the rifle fully assembled here, or I'm not sure where this magic 30-06 is broken down in his backpack. Like you said, it's actually, he's in the prone for 38 seconds. So the idea that he goes to the prone, pulls this rifle out of wherever it is, puts it together, puts the telescopic scope on, takes a cold bore shot in 38 seconds, no matter what anybody tells you, I want your audience to know, not the best Delta Force operator in the world. No one could do that. That is literally impossible to do all of those things in 38 seconds and then take an accurate shot. Like you mentioned, also after sprinting and having your adrenaline through the roof and all these types of things. So what we have to assume then is that if he has a 30-06, he assembled it off camera. Now, we do know there is more footage about 5 minutes before this. Who knows what it shows? But now we do know that there's no way he assembled the rifle, right? So now we have to assume if he has a rifle, it's already assembled. But the problem then is, Alex, as we watch him run, he does not have a 44-inch long gun on him. We can see that. And especially because you'd be carrying the rifle diagonally across your body with a long gun here. I mean, you could absolutely see a 30-06 as he's running away. Okay, so I don't see any rifle. We'll break it down, especially when he gets up to leave. That's when you can really see that, to me, it doesn't look like he has a rifle at all. Now, if we can back up a little bit to initially, where he's laying in the prone is very, very suspicious to me as well. Now, I can't prove it for sure because of the fidelity of this camera, but if you actually back up to the start of this, the footage, I can show you just how distorted this footage is. And this is important for the Benny Johnsons and the Officer Tatums of the world who came out and said, right here, if you can pause. So if we see this building off to his left here, right? It's about a 10-foot tall building. What's interesting about this is this building, as he runs out into the prone, it looks like this building is behind him and to his left. Now, we were actually able to really triangulate this and figure it all out. That building is actually about 150 meters in front of him off to the left. And this is how distorted and warped this camera footage actually is. So initially, I thought this isn't even the location that the FBI is showing, but we do think it is. But if you now let it play, and again, let's pass, he's running here. Another thing I noticed, he's got what looks to be some type of big black overcoat on. You can see it here, right? And so there you can really see this overcoat, or maybe that's the towel. I'm not sure. But that to me is suspicious, because where's all this stuff coming from? We see him walk up into the stairwell in skinny jeans, a thin black t-shirt, and a tiny black backpack. But now he's got a 30-06. He's got a towel. He's got a giant overcoat. He's got screwdrivers. He has all of this in this Dora the Explorer Magic backpack. So here I am not sure, but to me, it does not look like he's anywhere close enough to the edge of that roof to actually have line of sight to even shoot at Charlie. Because if we think about the fact that he's at a 9-degree slope and Charlie's down here, he's got to angle a shot down this way. Well, if you're in the prone and you're, and I don't see him pull a tripod out or anything like that, the rifle barrel is maybe 6 to 8 inches off the rooftop. So he's got to be all the way on the edge of that rooftop with the barrel to even have line of sight. Maybe he does. Maybe this camera footage is so warped and distorted that we can't see that. But to me, what I'm looking at here, he looks substantially pretty far away from the edge. So that, to me, I'm not sure he ever even had line of sight to take a gunshot to begin with. Next one, the low crawl. Okay. I love the idea that, oh, it's so easy, a baby can do it. Yeah, because babies are designed to crawl. 6-foot men are not designed to crawl. Do you know how hard this is, Alex? I challenge anybody, go out, and I'm going to try to recreate this. Go out into your front yard with a 44-inch long gun, and this is a military-style low crawl. Okay, there's videos of it online. And try to do what he's doing here while concealing a 44-ish inch long gun. If anybody can recreate that while concealing it, I'm going to be very impressed. So, I mean, the fact that this 22-year-old kid whose, hobbies were, Magic the Gathering and video games, knows how to do all these things, pretty impressive, right? Next thing I know, when he goes into the prone, he throws out what people are saying is a towel. Here it is right here. This is exactly the type of military low crawl that you'd be looking at. So it's not quite a low crawl, but it's a good way to like move laterally, because you can't really be in a full low crawl and move laterally. So, I mean, that's exactly what you see here, right? So maybe he learned this online, or maybe it's more likely that somebody had a little bit of military training that's involved in this. Anyway, with what he throws out here, to me, what would make sense is to throw out your backpack, right? Because if I'm going to be in the prone and I need to take a precision shot, I'd rather not just be supporting myself or unsupported, right? Prone, unsupported. I'd rather support my rifle on a backpack to be able to take a nice, clean, still shot. So why you'd even throw a towel out, I'm not sure. So to me, it would make more sense that that's a backpack. But again, we don't actually see him take a rifle. We don't see him put a rifle on anything. Really, we see him throw out what looks to be a backpack and just lay there. And then we see him lay there.
Let me just interrupt for a moment and ask you this.
Yeah.
Candace made this point, and she admits she's not really a gun person, but I think this point's valid. To me, it does look like he does a motion where he's unfolding something, a smaller collapsible rifle or something.
Right.
When you say he's throwing something out, maybe he's throwing out the backpack or something to get on it, but it does look like he's popping something open. Then when he gets up and runs, it looks like he has a bag or a shorter rifle. It looks like see something when he's running away.
So, I mean, I don't know if you remember when I was on your show, maybe 3 or 4 days after this happened, I told what made sense to me was a collapsible style AR-15 style weapon that shoots a 223 round, which just coincidentally, Alex, we've actually shown there was a 223 round found on the roof on the building that is directly in line of sight to Charlie Kirk and the shooter about 100 meters back. So that 223 round was not found somewhere else on campus. It was found about 100 meters away from this shooter's location. So yeah, to me, what you could have here, you could very easily have an AR-15 style collapsible weapon, right? That could be easily concealable. But the idea you have this, again, giant 44-inch long gun that you got to re-put together with the screwdriver and screws and put your telescopic scope back on. You don't have to do any of that with an AR-15 style platform, right? You can break it
down.
And I've
done plenty of walking in East Texas and South Texas and in Colorado, hunting elk with big rifles, and I'm not in bad shape, but it's exhausting. And to try to run around with these, I mean, folks, you need to go try it.
So next, I want to talk about the no recoil. This is important. You've seen a couple. I don't know if we want to call them experts now at this point, but they're trying to say that because he was in the prone, there's no recoil. First of all, like, you've shot a 30-06, Alex. For those of you who don't know, go out and shoot a 30-06 for a few rounds and check your armpit after the day. you will be black and bruised from the recoil of this rifle. It is serious, serious recoil. So yes, being in the prone would help mitigate recoil, but go out and there's, you know how many videos, Alex, there are of gun bunnies that go down in the prone and shoot big, you know, 30-odd sixes. And then you can watch their, sorry for your audience, you can watch their asses jiggle. That's their whole thing. So yeah, the idea, no, that's going to send a massive shockwave through your body and it's still going to have a huge amount of recoil. It's just going to be mitigated somewhat through your body. But yeah, you're of course going to see a ton of recoil. We see things we don't see. We don't see any recoil. We don't see any smoke. We don't see any debris kick up. He's on a gravel roof with a barrel that's 6 inches above that gravel. That gravel is going to get blown away. Dust is going to kick up everywhere. Now, is it because the footage is so, so bad? We don't see anything. I don't know. You can see him moving, right? You can see him moving and shifting around. So the idea you can't see any recoil.
You would see a dust flash come up.
For sure. Especially on a gravel roof, right? We're not talking that roof, as we were told, has got a gravel layer on top of it. I mean, that's going to blow dust and shit everywhere. Discrepancies that don't make any sense. And I think really the big one is when he actually gets up off the ground. And if you really slow frame it, my buddy Matt from Trigger Smart has an awesome video. You guys should go watch it. He breaks down all of this in detail, but he really slow.
Tell us where we get that. Frames. Tell us the name of the video. We'll pull it up right now. It's Trigger Smart. What's the name of the video?
Once I think it's his most recent one. He just put it out yesterday.
Is that on YouTube? And
let's see. Yep. It's Candace Owens' new Charlie Cook rooftop footage by Trigger Smart. And it's about around the 58-minute mark. And he's got a slow.
Here we go.
Yep. Back up just a little bit, and you can actually to where you can actually see him slow framed.
Yeah, guys, full screen that when you can. Good job.
Yeah,
roll that.
Back up because he's
breaks up.
So yeah, he's running away. But if we can back up to where he slowly gets up off the ground, I think this is very interesting because you can see what he picks up. He picks up either the towel or the backpack with one hand. And gets up, pressing his left hand off the ground, right? Because you can't get up off the prone without supporting yourself with one or two hands. He puts his left hand down. He grabs the backpack in his right hand. He gets up all in one fluid motion and takes off running. So when did he pick up the 30-06? Where's the 30-06? I can see him pick the towel or the backpack up with his right hand and use his left hand to push himself up. Where's the gun? And then as he runs away, Even the lead investigator refused to say in court that you can see him with a rifle in any of this footage. And to me, says he gets up here, as we watch, this is it, right? Super good footage. Now, again, it's blurry, but I mean, we can see his backpack or his towel that's here on the ground. And you can see it flop around as he picks it up. So he braces himself with the left hand, picks up the towel with his right hand, all in one fluid motion, and runs off the roof. He's up on his feet now, right? And then he's got that object, which, as you can see, as it moves, that's a backpack. We watched him pick out whatever he put out in front of him, towel or backpack, which we've always thought from the beginning that's what it was, based off of the rest of the footage where he runs and jumps off the roof. But again, to my point, we don't see a rifle anywhere at any point in any of this footage, and he had to have, again, put it. So now the idea that, like, he disassembled the rifle and put it in a backpack as he runs away, we know that that's not true.
What this does is destroys the official story on every front.
I mean, I don't, at this point, and Alex, I said this from the very beginning, I'm not a person that's like, free Tyler Robinson, right? I don't care who the person is that did this. I've just been saying, especially I've been focused on the ballistics, the 30-06, all the tactical side of this. Show me some evidence that would lend to anything that the FBI nerd. Show me a rifle, right? We are now seeing all the footage we could possibly have. And unless somebody can break that down for me, and even the lead investigator to the case refuses to say that he had a rifle with him in this footage.
And they can't even say that they have the proper ballistics on the bullet. They can't even say they know it's 30-06.
That, I mean, then you get into that. That's a whole nother level of just, you know, wonkiness that doesn't make any sense, you know.
And
I mean, what they can say.
Then they find a 5.56 full round on the roof in the same area. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, 223. And that's, Alex, the reason why that's an important distinction is a lot of law enforcement departments, most, and military use 5.56 rounds, whereas civilian variant of that for AR-15 is a 223 round, right? Now, there are some potential, but my point is, it's far more likely that a civilian would have had a 223 round other than the lead investigator whose narrative, you want to break this narrative down because I train law enforcement departments and SWAT teams. The lead investigator said that round, that 223 round was because a police officer was up on that roof and just ejected the cartridge and just left it there and walked off. That's the official narrative of why that round's up there. And I try to explain to people, somebody trains law enforcement department, any police officer you talk to, Alex, is going to laugh that out of the room for one big reason. If I'm a police officer and those are my rounds with my fingerprints and DNA all over those rounds, and I'm just ejecting them and leaving them all over town, somebody finds that, puts it in a gun, go commits a murder. Guess who committed that murder? I committed that murder when they run all the ballistics and DNA tests on it. So the idea that police officers are just ejecting rifle rounds and just leaving them on top of roofs, that's just more Fed slop. There's a 0% chance that happens. So again, that just lends to where the hell did that round come from? You know, when we factor in that it makes a lot more sense. Again, that was my theory from day one, was, you know, potentially either second shooter or some type of, I don't know. I just don't see this kid with a rifle at any point in any of this footage from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, you got the, you know, SEAL Team 6 guys on national TV saying they don't buy it. I mean, well, talk to your military.
Let me interrupt you because I think this is important, right? I'm friends with 100 people in the plus in the special operations community, all of the content creators. This is how I started my channel. I did special operations content. Then I started following the Charlie Kirk case. I can tell you there's like two or three special operators who believe the official narrative. You know who they are. The other 100, let's just be very, very clear that 99% of special operators don't believe this. So that also is something you should question of why does that seems pretty weird to me. But anyway, yeah, let's be very clear.
That's exactly where I was going. That's exactly where I was going, is I know a lot of military guys, you know, from the same special operations, and they just, day one, they didn't buy it. And now they basically say they know no one that does. And they say the people that are pushing that know they're full of crap. And so we have to ask, why are they doing that?
Well, I don't know. And, you know, even, you know, I've talked to those guys myself. And what's interesting is at the start of this, they didn't believe it at all. And then one day, all of a sudden, there was this huge pivot, and all of a sudden, you had to believe the FBI narrative, you know, maybe like a month or two in. Then you had to believe the FBI narrative no matter what. And so, you know, I'm not going to make accusations, but I think, you know, based off, let me tie it into this, right? Because what we've also seen now with the TPUSA influencers, Benny Johnson, Jack Sobiak, Officer Tatum, we know they lied. They lied through their courtroom, Benny Johnson saying, oh, the high definition 4K footage. You can see the whites of his eyes. Well, I just showed you that footage is so bad that you can't even tell a building that's 150 meters in front of Tyler looks like it's behind him. So why was there a coordinated effort right outside the courtroom immediately for them to all viscerally lie about that? I don't know. I think that might tie into why are some of these other people misrepresenting and gaslighting people and lying about this? And they're all part of the same crew, Alex.
And with the same talking points, word for word. And here's the deal. I like Tatum. I like Benny. I see Benny as a friend. But it's shocking to me because it was all this. And then they spun it and said, we meant the footage of him going up the stairs. We could see it was his face. No, they were all very clear. We saw him on the roof.
No, hold on. No, they didn't. Because what did he say? What did Jack Sobiak said? You can see him assemble the rifle. Tatum said, you can see him take the shot. They didn't talk about that. They talked about all the actions on the roof, including assembling the rifle and shooting Charlie Kirk. That they lied about that.
Harry, stay right there. My point is it's painful, but the truth's the truth, and I don't know what the hell's going on. We'll be right back with Valhalla VFT. Stay with us.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. people just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric, we've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. You got the T3 trifecta iodine, absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow, incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins, memorabilia that we have, literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Well, I really respect Nate Cornacchia. He's a really smart guy, really does a great job on the show. I watch it routinely. I'm a fan. Really glad I got to know him. On the sad situation with Charlie being killed, but all things considered. And everybody I know that's into weapons, armorers, gunsmiths, military, special ops. None of them buy any of this. And it's just really, really dangerous that Kash Patel killed an investigation into this 6 days into it. I was told that by people in the cabinet meeting. They gave the information because they obviously couldn't bring it out. And of course, it came out months later, exactly as I said, that very meeting. Patel had the authority of the president, screamed at people, screamed at Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent. Joe Kent was working behind the scenes with us because we were told before Charlie was killed, at a Republican event by high-level TPUSA folks, that Charlie was concerned they were going to kill him. Later, those text messages did come out, obviously. We weren't making that up. But there was already an investigation before he got killed Just leave it at that. And of course, Joe Kent was on the show yesterday. So they were doing their job, and the government killed any investigation into foreign involvement and any investigation into the 10 people the 3 days before, most of which lived in the town, saying he'll be dead when he comes here in 3 days. He'll be dead when he comes here in 2 days. And then six of them the day before, so 10 people total, said he'll be dead tomorrow. Four of those people then went online right after he was killed and said, see, we told you he'd be dead. Yep. Cash Patel told high-level TVUSA that I talked to, that they said, why aren't you investigating this? And they said, well, we don't think we can get a conviction. Sure, he might have had help, but we're not looking into the Zen character. We're not looking into any of these people. A bunch of the leftists got up right when the shot rang out and didn't run and cheered like they knew they were there. So there's a lot of weirdness. Cover stories they had they didn't use. They might have roped in the trans community, but they didn't. I've talked to reporters that talked to the family. I've aired a clip recorded in the courthouse of the family saying none of it's true. We don't believe the official story. But they're scared for their lives. So we know we're being lied to here. The question is, what exactly did happen? And I know that Nate Kornacki doesn't like to speculate. Neither do I. It tears my guts out. Benny Johnson's defended me. I like Benny Johnson. When it came out, the CIA was targeting me in these lawsuits. He was the first big host to come to my aid and went viral. But then I see those guys. I've been friends with Jack. I gave Jack his first camera when he got out of Naval Intelligence, told him he ought to be in the media. And, you know, he works high level at the White House. I'll just leave it at that. And to see him doing that and all of it, and then to see Tatum, who I like and have been friends with, going, you guys are lying. We met up the stairs. We saw his face. When, as you said, no, they're saying specifically, get on the prone, take the shot, yep. Pull the trigger, HD, 4D, you know, you can see, you know, an ant's antennas, you know, it's so clear. And I'm just like, come on, guys. And it's and so they did that to themselves. I'm not even attacking them. I can't stand doing that. But at the same time, I can't be a party to this by extension and play along with it. And so now we've got that out there. Big picture, what do you and your community that are really some of the best brains on this think is going on? If you've got these huge leaks already that are so devastating to the system, into the lie, into the official false narrative, imagine what else is going to come out. That's got to really scare. What other areas in this in this should we focus on? And then I want to get your expertise, the time we have left, to bring in my son, Rex, who's co-hosting with us. What is the military veteran community saying to you about Iran, about Israel, about the Islamic invasion? Israel admits that they supported the Moroccans taking that Spanish city that they've had to control. Yep. That Strait of Morocco and the Rock of Gibraltar. I mean, to punish Spain for not supporting the war. I mean, this is just completely out of control. That's a whole other area I want to pick your brain on, Nate.
Yeah. Do we want to I wanted to put some important caveat there on what you talked about with Cash Patel shutting down the investigation, because there's a second part of this story a lot of people missed. And that was, if you don't know, fellow Green Beret Mike Glover, who very, very highly respected in the Green Beret and special operations community, he talked about this 7 months ago. He lives in Provo, Utah, and worked in, don't quote me on this, sorry, Mike, but CIA as well, maybe for a little bit. Anyway, doesn't matter. He is friends with some very, 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 very high-level people in the CIA, and they reached out to him also asking if they could possibly have help or information with he had, and he was like, why are you reaching out to me? You're the CIA. And they said, because we've been shut down by Cash Patel and the FBI from looking into this. So I want to understand, it wasn't just the DNI, it wasn't just Joe Kent, it wasn't just, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, obviously DNI. It was also the CIA that was shut down from looking into foreign involvement on this. And I think it's important, though, we look at this and we're honest with ourselves, because if we understand how the intelligence apparatus system works, FBI, CIA, NSA, National Counterterrorism Center, they all sit below the DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, right? She has authority over them. So the idea that Cash Patel shut down Tulsi Gabbard, the only way that that could happen, and you said it, is with presidential authority. So Trump is the one who shut down the investigation or had authority to give Cash Patel to do it. Cash Patel can't shut that down by himself as the director of the FBI. That's an important context I think we need to understand with the show. That was broken down for us. One of our friends, Chris Piotta, who used to be the number three in the FBI, number three in rank in FBI and he was in the FBI for 25 years. He's the one that explained that to us and said, no, this is not how this works. You would have to have presidential authority to shut down Tulsi Gabbard, to force Joe Kent and the CIA to stop looking into this. I got questions of why. Why did that happen? Wasn't Charlie supposed to be all your best friends? It's just, it's so, wouldn't you want, and you know, another thing, Alex, even the, you know, other Green Berets that believe the official narrative, they might not tell you anymore, but they've told me personally, they also believe in foreign involvement. They also believe in multiple people involved in this. So like Matt Tardio, who I'm friends with, and I disagree on everything with him, he thinks Russia was behind it. So again, even the people who believe the official narrative still believe there was foreign involvement into this. So why is the U.S. government shutting down an investigation into foreign involvement? That is so suspicious to me. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if you've got some thoughts. You're more tied into how the deep state and all this works than I am. But to me, it's just like, that's the most suspicious part of the whole thing.
That's what I was told at the time. I was like, so obviously they couldn't put it out. And they said, no, you can put this out right now. And that's what they told me, is that Patel said, no, I have the authority of the president. And then and he was telling him. And then Gabbard's like, well, you ran for FBI, basically saying you were going to turn the old building, the intelligence building, J. Edgar Hoover building, into a museum, because the FBI shouldn't be involved in classic intelligence, just be counterintelligence. Yeah. And he literally screamed at him and said, shut up. And Susie Wiles was in the meeting and then all the rest of it. So Trump killed the Butler investigation.
Trump, we know that, killed as well.
The Epstein investigation. He killed the Charlie Kirk investigation. And I'm not in the business just to attack Trump. I wanted to believe in the guy. I was persecuted for him. It's just that it's him. Okay. Just like I told everybody last June, I said, it's Trump that killed the Epstein investigation. Cause I talked to people who were in the meetings, obviously couldn't say it. So they said, here, Jones, you say it. And of course everybody attacked me and said, how dare you? No, it's Cash Patel, it's Pam Bondi. And no, it wasn't. Trump ordered it. And then a week later, he came out and said, if you believe in the Epstein thing and the hoax, you're not MAGA, you're an idiot. And people went, oh, it is Trump. So it's Trump across the board. And then you have to ask, why is that? Because listen, I'm no sniper, I'm no gun expert. I thought Butler looked real. I don't see how a real guy got killed, people got wounded. I don't think the best sniper in the world can sit there when Trump's moving around and just grazes here. But then why would Trump kill an investigation into who was behind Crooks? I don't know. What do you think?
I thought this was real too. I'm not gonna misrepresent how I covered this. I know I have some buddies who thought this was fake right out the gate, credit to them. But I thought this was all real myself. I broke all this down. So I agree with you on that. But then you find out later, you know, through Tucker Carlson, who I'm sure is not lying about this, that he killed his own investigation into this. And then now we've got the wife of the killed firefighter who's coming out and saying this is an inside job. She didn't believe it.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of my main sources was Tucker until 4 months ago, when Trump stopped talking to him. But Trump used to call him every day. I mean, I've been with Tucker and he has to leave for 45 minutes because Trump's calling him. And he would never give me a bunch of stuff, but he would, you can say this, you can say that. But I don't just have Tucker. I still have other sources, and sources that have the sources that's given to me, obviously, as a conduit. But absolutely. And Tucker wanted Trump to succeed. He was flabbergasted. Because he used to be in the they used to have him in the cabinet meetings. He used to be like basically a secret ambassador for Trump, running around the Middle East. People said, why is he in the Middle East? Well, because he's a celebrity and Trump asked him to do that. That's what Trump does, is he calls people in. That's what presidents do. And they send them on missions. And absolutely. So I can tell you, Tucker told me that months and months before he went public, that Trump killed the Butler investigation. And that's now, of course, been confirmed. That's why you saw the deer in the headlights whenever Patel and Bongino went on Fox back in June of last year, 14 months ago. Or 13 months ago, and they're like, no, we've seen the file. Epstein wasn't a human trafficker and killed himself, and Crooks acted alone, and there was no internet activity of him, and then somebody leaks giant internet activity. And it just goes on and on. So it's Trump, folks. And we can sit there and speculate all day about what happened, or is he compromised, or whatever it is, and I want to bring that up to you now in putting bookends on this. Nate, where do you see this Kirk thing going? Because in the court of public opinion, the system's convicted. Mm-hmm. Nobody buys it. They're going to have a fiasco of a trial. What do you think the general public should do? What are investigators doing, like you? And then let's shift gears into the big picture. Escalations in Ukraine. NATO supplying more weapons to bomb inside Russia. Russia threatening to hit NATO targets outside Ukraine. Insane level escalation. Then you've got Iran, knowing they hold the cards on the straight, being belligerent in a war of attrition. Pentagon's own reports to Trump saying you're now losing a strategic war. You're having a strategic defeat. Doesn't matter how much crap people blow up. It's just like Vietnam. Trump wants an exit ramp. I talk to people that have been in the meetings. But Netanyahu, he says he's never been closer to him. He loves the people that were never Trumpers and hated him. He hates the people that told him the truth. I mean, this is just getting worse by the minute.
Yeah. I mean, so for the Charlie Kirk trial, honestly, Alex, I think it's our generation's JFK. I don't think we'll ever get the answers. I hate to say this to your audience, but I'm just being honest. I don't think we'll ever get the answers. I think we have what we have evidence-wise. And they're going to throw that in front of a jury. They're going to pray that because it's in Utah and it's a heavy, heavy religious area that they can pert. Basically, what I think that, and sorry to say this to, I know they're your friends, Benny, Tatum, Jack, I think it's just coordinated effort by TPUSA to taint the jury pool ahead of time. That's why they lied about this. That's why they said there's overwhelming evidence that you can see everything in HD. So I think what they're hoping is we're going to throw this slop in front of a jury, pray to God that, you know, from the religious angle, they want to put him to death because, you know, they love Charlie Kirk. I think that's the play. Whether that works or not, I don't know. What I do know is it's going to be one of the most divisive things in American history, no matter what. That the end of that trial, whether he's guilty or not guilty, I think is going to have massive ramifications moving forward, especially in the censorship of social media. If he's found not guilty, I believe that's when they're going to leverage the massive hammer, just like COVID. They're going to blame Candace Owens and me and Ian and all and you and all these people because we let a murderer get free. So now we have to bring the censorship crackdown on social media because you guys are so dangerous. Look what you did. Or the trial goes the other way. They find him guilty. And the other half, and the 98% of America that doesn't believe this now knows there was a giant government cover up. They're just killing people in plain sight. And then they can just do this. And it's just going to further, make people more disillusioned in our country. So that's, I don't think it's going to be bad no matter what. The end of that trial is going to be terrible no matter what. We'll get no answers. The people who believe it are going to believe it. The people who don't believe it are going to continue to not believing it. I think that's where we're at with that.
Perfectly.
So that's what I got.
Perfectly said. And I have this bookend on it. I look at him in the pretrial and in the videos. He looks like our POWs that were held for 5 years by the North Vietnamese and tortured. He looks like he's had electroshock. He looks like he is completely out of his gourd. This is the perfect type guy, like Sirhan or the other, you know, things that we know were MK Ultra. Some people say, well, why does he think he did it? Well, I mean, who knows? I just know I was so shocked months ago when I talked to reporters that were with people that recorded all 10 of the family. And I've been played this, but I'm allowed to put it on air. They made me listen to it over the phone. We played one clip where one of the family members was saying, we don't buy any of it. 90% of what you see is lies. We think he's innocent. What you hear isn't true. And then I'm like, well, you got to go public. And they're like, no, we're scared. So that on top of it, I'm just like, this is wild. But what do you think? What do you think of Tyler Robbins himself?
I look at him just like Lance Twiggs, right? We watched Lance Twiggs get up there dead-eyed like he had no soul in his body, like he was a robot, and sit there, you know, and while he's chewing gum. I mean, they just look like your classic, just like the Batman theater shooter, like all, just like crooks. They all are like this 20-year-old dead-eyed, like you said, look like they've had their brains fried through some type of MK Ultra style programming. It's like the same thing every single time. And it's moved into they're always trans. But then that narrative also doesn't make any sense because you see Lance Twiggs and you're like, okay, this is a man with a deep voice who feels like he's almost being forced to say, yeah, here you go. I mean, this they all have this exact same look, right? And
by the way, for people the Batman shooter's dad ran the NASA and the Pentagon's most secret brain interface mind control system for astronauts to control computers with their minds. And he told everybody he was under mind control. It came out in the newspaper that in the jail, he was saying, I didn't do it. They drugged me. Help me. They did all this national security when they went in his apartment and said national security took it over. The Unabomber was CIA. The same CIA deputy head of MK Ultra was the doctor to Jack Ruby, was the doctor to McVeigh, Jolly and West. I mean, you can't make this up.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing with Tyler, let's hypothetically say Tyler, the official narrative is true, right? What it still means to me is there's now with what you already showed all of the obvious multiple people involved in this. At this point, even if he's the shooter, he's obviously put up to this by somebody, right? So yeah, okay, we got the guy who pulled the trigger, but that doesn't actually, that's not even going to even solve the actual case, in my opinion, because it's much higher level than that. There's no way it's not. There's too many people that are involved, shutting down foreign involvement. So that would be my thing is, okay, let's say it's true. I still would want to know, okay, well, who actually was behind this? You know, was it the evil left? Was it, our greatest ally? Was it Russia? Was it Iran? Was it China? I don't know. But the one thing I'll never believe is that Tyler, and even people on the other side, if they're honest, don't believe this, is that Tyler Robinson was a loaf gets away. And you know, it's that I'll never believe that, even if he is the shooter.
I totally agree. I told you, totally simpatico what you're saying. And then everybody else I talked to, the House of Brains, is the same thing. So shifting into big picture, what's going on with Trump, the midterms, Iran? What is the veteran community, the SF veteran community, that really value their take? Well, I mean, I know what the guys I know are saying. What are you hearing? What do you think?
So real quick pitch to my own stuff, Alex. So every Friday I'm doing a show with three of my other special operator buddies. So Ben Pappas, retired Lieutenant Colonel in MARSOC, Aaron Love, Air Force PJ, Jake Zweig, retired Navy SEAL. So, and me as a Green Beret. So we're doing this type of content, breaking these things down. Pretty much all of it. Nobody supports the war in Iran. Almost nobody. And I got a bunch of teammates still that are active duty, high up sergeant majors in special forces now. None of them support it. Obviously, right? None of it makes sense. There's no strategic objectives. We weren't even like given a good lie like we were in the, you know, early days of the global war on terror with WMDs. Also, we talked about, you know, Trump looking for an off ramp. I'm not sure that's true. And also, there is no off ramp. And I think I talked about this on my show last week. And you just mentioned it, the escalations in Ukraine and also Ukraine now bombing Iranian ships, I think. Sadly, and I don't want to fearmonger, we could look back on this moment, this last week, 5 years from now, as the start of what we would look at as World War III. And I know people hate to hear that, but we now have massive wars that are now interconnecting. And this is how World War works, right? You have small wars kicking off, and then as those intertwine and intertangle due to alliances, which with Ukraine bombing Iran, that's very specific. They're doing it on purpose. The reason why they're doing it, of course, Russia's allied with Iran, were at war with Iran, with Israel. And so if Ukraine can now enter the war against Iran, they become a strategic alliance partner with the United States, which means then the United States is now incentivized to what? Enter the war against Russia. Right now you have the United States. Then NATO, of course, is going to jump in on that. China probably has to get involved. We have Saudi Arabia now also attacking Iran. Pakistan threatening Iran on behalf of Saudi Arabia.
You have the Houthis hitting the Strait.
The Houthis involved.
Red Sea.
I mean, by all intents and purposes, Alex, I would say we're already in World War III. This is what a world war looks like. You have 15 different countries all intertwined in a war.
This is the definition. Then you have Iran saying they didn't hit the Egyptian port by the major canal, the Suez Canal. They're saying that Israel's trying to draw Egypt in, and Israel's foreign minister, Israel's finance minister, and their intelligence minister, national security, had all said they want a larger regional war, that this is, quote, ideal for chaos to expand greater Israel. So Israel's actually saying what you just said. And if you look, it's only 600 kilometers up from Ukraine at the north all the way down to the south to Iran. And so if you look at that, it's an energy war already. So we're already in a new world war. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And we talked about, as an energy war, I've been talking about this for 9 months, Alex, is the Strait of Hormuz is bad, but yeah, you have the Houthis shut down the Strait of Mandab. That's another 10% of the world's oil supply. Right. And then you get more conflict into Russia and Ukraine, and that energy supply starts getting whopped off because, you know, Russia's having to supply a lot of this now. And all of our Asian allies have no access to any oil at all. And, you know, I think that people don't realize this isn't like the global war on terror where, you know, we're fighting Afghanistan and it doesn't affect the rest of the world and we can do it for 20 years. Right. Like, no, this is going to spiral out of control from an energy crisis, which then turns into a starvation crisis very quickly after that. very, very quickly. I mean, we are probably within a year from now at this current pace that we're doing that the entire global financial system and economy completely collapses. I mean, to
which is what they want, which is what BlackRock wants as the cover for that. And let me just real fast add something back to the Candace Owens, TPUSA fight and just all the things that are going on and Benny Johnson, the rest of them. Look, I'm not stupid and I'm trying to be nice to those guys. I don't know how they were approached. I don't know what happened. But when Trump first got in 2017, I got approached by people and some of the ones that we were talking about. And they said, the White House wants you to officially come in. These are high-level people in the White House. Two operations, and we want you to work in influencing and coordinate you. And I said, let me guess, it's a three-letter agency. It'll be over it. And I said, and they said, yeah. And I said, that's a bunch of factions. I never worked for the government. I'm independent. I'm not doing it. And Rob Dew was at the meeting, my news director. So he's a witness to them trying to recruit me into the CIA. So we know what happened. I didn't take the deal. You saw what happened. And then they let the deep state come after me because I didn't join with them. And the problem is, once you join with them, you've got to put out what they say. So I'm not trying to be mean here. I had to tell the truth here today. I hope none of those folks run their mouth at us or say what I'm saying isn't true because I got receipts. And I think it's really time for people to realize what we're dealing with. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, well, to caveat off on that, there's going to be a big story coming out on a big channel here recently. I can't give the gander up that I've been helping work on to expose exactly how this works. And when we talk about Ukraine, right, I know a lot of military influencers that were approached, including one of my closest friends, who was offered obscene amounts of money to be shilling for a pro-Ukraine. This was 2 years ago. I mean, we're talking $10,000 a video on top of all other types of stuff, upwards of a video every single day, you know, $300,000, $400,000 a month to shill for the pro side of this war. And I know five or six influencers who took those deals, right? So this type of stuff, to your point, they approach these people, they approach these influencers to pay them off in big ways or give them access to power. As you know, that's a big intoxicating thing for a lot of these guys too, is they get to rub elbows with Trump and Vance, right? So this 100% is happening. We have the receipts for all this that's going to be presented in a story.
Well, let me just add, too, but remember a month and a half ago, Trump's head of all social media and speechwriter went on Tucker and said he was offered $22 million a year by Israel.
Sure.
To at the yep. White House put out messages. They were trying to buy him off to control the White House. Totally sure. Illegal. Now they want that guy fired.
Yeah. And I mean, I know guys personally that have been approached with these exact deals that I'm friends with, that turned them down, by the way, that said, no, thank you. I don't need, because they're huge. Right. So, well, I mean, we have video calls, recorded video calls of these offers from these people. Right. So it's a thing. And I don't think Americans really realize how much of it's really going on. And right here, this is what that picture you just showed, you know, rubbing elbows, feeling good next to the president. It's very intoxicating.
I know you got to go. I know you got to go. But just 2 minute break. Just do a 2 minute bookend when we come sure. out on the end of this.
No problem.
But speaking of thank you. But speaking of what you just said, I'm not funded by Israel, Qatar, or anybody. I'm funded by you at thealexjonesstore.com. And your support, if you want independent reporting, I'll never sell out, but I could collapse without your support. You are the deciding factor to support.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.